Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to meet together. Pray that you bless this time that we have. I pray that you let your word that Dan is bringing dwell on our hearts, Lord, and just help us to enjoy this time together tonight and hear what you have to say. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Good prayer.
Okay, so on Sunday, we started with the basics and we talked about how God is good. There's a recording of that. We can get that to you, Brian and Christy, if you guys want to hear that. And then this is building off of that. So if you remember, John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." And the reason Jesus came in the flesh was to give us the life that we were originally made for. Remember, he created Adam and Eve. They walked in the garden and to fellowship with God. And then it was stolen from them, or they gave it away. But the whole reason Jesus came is so we could get back to that life. From creation, God had set into motion the plan of Jesus coming to restore what he created us for. He said that when he cursed the snake. And, so from that moment, that's when God set into motion the plan of Jesus coming. He came to restore what he created us for, a life free of sickness, pain, and poverty. And all of our needs met, just like it was from the beginning. Jesus makes the point to tell us here in John 10:10 that it's the enemy who kills and steals and destroys, not God. Lack, sickness, poverty, disease, destruction, and loss are not from God. And those are things that we looked at on Sunday. And we also mentioned on Sunday that if you use this John 10:10 rule, if you have thoughts of fear, doubt, unbelief, then measure against this scripture. If it's good, it's from God. If it's bad, it's from the enemy. So really simplify it. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So it's important to stay conscious of your thoughts and take captive those thoughts that are contrary to the truth found in the Word of God. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And Luke 6:45 says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." And one more, Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So what you think in your heart will come out of your mouth, and your words will determine the course of your life. So if we don't see ourselves the way Jesus sees us, we will not live the life that Jesus has for us. It starts on the inside and not on the outside. So we need to really get that reconciled in our hearts. And we talked about that on Sunday as well. So back to John 10:10, what is this abundant life that Jesus is talking about? The Greek word for life in this verse is zoe, 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 which means the state of one who is possessed with vitality. That's according to Strong's Concordance. This is real life, a life that is possessed with the vital spirit, the breath of God. This is a life of thriving, not just surviving. This life isn't just barely getting by life, but of having more than enough, abundance. This isn't just getting healed once, but living a life full of health. So this is the abundant life that's talking to us about in John 10:10. And this kind of life works in every part of the world, no matter where you are. We are blessed in the city and blessed in the country.
Amen.
That's in Deuteronomy 28. We are above and not beneath. Those can be found in Deuteronomy 28. So just because you're not seeing this life right now does not mean that it isn't available to you. Jesus died and rose from the grave to make this life available to you. One of the definitions of Zoe is a life active and vigorous, devoted to God. This life is only attained through the Word of God. So a lot of people go looking for it through all kinds of different ways. I want this fulfilled life. If I get married, my life will be fulfilled. If I have children, my life will be fulfilled. If I get this job, if I become famous, I'll have this fulfilled life. But it doesn't work that way. This life that we're talking about is only found in the Word of God. And John 1:14 said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the Word of God. So this life cannot be found in the world, in the economy, in a particular government, or by moving to another country. It can only be found in the Word of God. People even look for this life in marriage, but marriage will not complete you. You can only be made complete through your relationship with Jesus. And we talked about that a lot when we were talking about being yoked with Jesus. You cannot make anyone else your source of happiness or provision. So we need to know that it's no matter if you're married, if your spouse is the most important thing to you, it's your relationship with Jesus that's going to give you this abundant life, each and every single one of us. The Greek word for abundantly in John 10:10 is parousos, which means superabundant, excessive, beyond measure, exceedingly, uncommonly extraordinary, remarkably more excellent. Remarkably more excellent. God wants you to live with such prosperity that you can't even count it. God's not moved by money, he's moved by faith. Our challenge today is to receive everything we were created to receive, everything Jesus died for us to have. And I don't want to get to heaven and realize that I missed out on anything God had provided for me. This is good news because even when we find ourselves in a bad spot, we can believe God for more healing, more deliverance, more prosperity, more victory. There's no limit to God. So this we start believing in this abundant life that Jesus speaks about in John 10:10 and get that settled in our hearts. This is part of the basics. In Philippians 3:10, this is the Amplified Version, says, "For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power overflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit and to his likeness, even to his death." I heard Duane Sheriff say that the Amplified Version was the women's Bible because it's a lot more wordy. So if we break this down, it's an important distinction that this tells us to know God first, and then we know the power of his resurrection. This is all based in relationship with him. This is not a casual knowing, like you just met someone on the bus. This is an intimate relationship. And if you don't know that God is good, then you don't really know him. That's going back to what we looked at on Sunday as well. Your determined purpose is to know who God really is. Your whole purpose for your life is to know God on an intimate level. If we want to hear God's still small voice, it will take quality and quantity time to develop that relationship. You get to know God by spending time in the Word of God, through prayer, through praying in tongues, through praise and worship, fellowshipping with other believers, and even by sharing the gospel with other people. While we're doing that, we are fulfilling our purpose. It doesn't matter how old or young you are, or what situation in life in which you find yourself, if you're building your relationship with God, you are fulfilling your purpose. Abundant life is the fruit of your relationship with God. Acts 13:2 says that they ministered to the Lord. Even in total isolation, you can still minister to the Lord through relationship with Him, and that is fulfilling your purpose. If you want to be a person of faith and taking part in the power outflowing from His resurrection, you need to know God. In 1 Corinthians 13, that's the love chapter, says that you can do all these good things, but they are meaningless without love. And you cannot have the fruit without the root of the relationship with the Lord. So if we moved on to Philippians 3:11 and 12 in the Amplified, it says that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of and grasp and make my own that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me his own. So when we get to know God, it changes us and it brings life into dead places. This is the purpose, that we might grasp, fully understand, and live this life that Jesus died for us to live. It takes effort on our side to press on and grasp this relationship and abundant life that He created us for. Do you hear that? It takes effort on our side to press on and grasp this relationship. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, the previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. So when you got born again, you became spiritually alive. God Himself came to dwell inside of you, and your spirit is where the abundant life is. You don't have to beg God to heal or bless you because it has already been done by Jesus. You are a spirit. We have spirit, soul, and body, right? You're a spirit. You have a soul, which is your mind and your will and your emotions. And you live in a body, which is our flesh. When you're born again, your spirit was instantly made brand new, full of the power and life of God. 1 John 4:17 says, as He is, so are we in this world. In your spirit, you are identical to Jesus. 2 Peter 1:2-4 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So everything we're ever going to need to live a happy, healthy, successful, and prosperous life comes through knowing Him. Relationship takes two. We have to take part in order to be partakers of this abundant life He has already granted us. Partakers and spectators are not the same thing. You must take part in a relationship with Him. You think about being at a ball game. You're either on the field playing or you're in the stands watching. And if you want to take part, you got to be a partaker. As Christians, we can escape the corruption that is in the world, some of the disasters and negative circumstances of this world that has been corrupted by sin. Ephesians 4:11 and 12 says, And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We've read that lots of times. And Micah just kind of taught on that too. So again, relationship is not being a spectator. There's a fivefold ministry, but the role of the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. If the only time people think they can get healed is when a person on stage lays hands on them, then the church is not fulfilling its purpose. Our job as fivefold ministers is to train up and equip partakers, not spectators. And that's, like we were called to make disciples, right? Not believers. That to me seems the same as partakers and spectators. If the children of God were partaking in relationship with God, we would see the power of God flowing through us on a regular life. And when a life is changed, it taps into abundant life and it results in a power-filled life. So that was the lesson built on what we looked at last week. And this one was just being more about knowing him. There's an abundant life promised to us. And to get that life, we need to be rooted in him to be able to receive the fruit. We have to know him, and that's where this abundant life comes from. And we talked about all this back about when we were being yoked to Jesus, back when we had that teaching. But this is just reaffirming these things through scripture. These are the basics. Brian and Christy went on Sunday, said, if I'm coaching a baseball team, the first 3 weeks or something, we're going to be doing the fundamentals, the basics. And that's what we're kind of doing here. So this is pretty basic stuff here that it's not too complicated. But it's something that we got to get settled in our hearts that, for us to say, this is it. We're building a foundation. We're laying these blocks for our foundation that say, God is good. A relationship with him is important, and he's promised us abundant life through that relationship. So let's discuss. Anything come to mind to you guys going through this?
Andy, would you read Philippians, was it 3:10 in the Amplified again? That was good. Was
Yeah.
it
3:10 in the Women's Bible. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may, in that same way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death.
thank you. That's good.
I was just going to say two things. One, when you first talked about that, it reminded me about, I had mentioned it when I taught on a Sunday last time, but in Genesis, it talks about when Adam was created that God breathed life through his nostrils. So you can imagine that when he first opened his eyes, he was like face to face with his creator. And that feels like the relationship God wants with us is a face-to-face relationship, and kind of what you're describing as well as like that close, intimate, one-on-one relationship. So, and then just as you're talking about all of these things, it's making me think about things that I'll have and be touching on when I share my teaching that I have, whatever that may be. So, and I think it's all gonna go well with each other. So.
Great.
Hi, happy to be at Bus Church. I missed the part where you guys all said hi to each other because I was like
Bus Church.
1 minute late, and then everybody's all going. No, just kidding. I liked your message tonight, and I know that you're calling this the fundamentals, the foundation. What, but to me, I feel like it's more than that. Maybe it's new or different because of the way that we have been serving for the last however many years. So I've been kind of studying this way for a while, and yes, these are like the fundamentals, but I just want to recognize that it might be new thinking to other people. And I was talking to mom about this, and I do this like healing school online thing just because I'm super interested in healing. And one of the things that really spoke to me about that kind of goes along with this is that under the points to ponder, she said, ask God to reveal to you your thought patterns and belief systems that haven't been based upon the word of God. And that's what I feel like part of this is that when you learn it, you see it in the Bible so clearly. And then you think, why did I not know that? Why did I not know that God's not disappointed in me? Or you know what I mean? It seems so obvious later. And then it's like so freeing when you realize, oh my God, God loves me so much. He's never been mad at me, or you know, or whatever it is. And so I've been praying this about thought patterns and belief systems. I'm sensing that we're gonna have a lot of those to break. So, anyways, encouraged.
Yeah, even though if we call this the basics, the foundations, the fundamentals, whatever we're calling this, it's still going to be Romans 12, transforming your mind to know this. I mean, we just talked about God is good, and you can't go to him in faith if you don't know that. If I think I don't know what kind of mood God's in and he might strike me down, I'm not going to go in faith to him. And how many times when I was younger did I not go to God because I knew I was messing up? I was like Adam and Eve hiding in the garden, you know? And I'm like, oh, he's mad at me. You know, I was like, only time he was mad at me was when he was punishing Jesus on the cross. That was a long time ago. He hasn't thought about that in a while because I've been redeemed. So my sins, you know, he's not even thinking about my sins.
I
You
was
know,
just going to
he's
say that
always trying to correct, but
I feel like that was so me for so many years of like, oh, I can't pray tonight. I'm going to let this sit for a week or two and then I'll come back around and like maybe it'll like blow over. But honestly, that's lies from Satan. That's Satan keeping you out of relationship with God. So once you know this and you're like, you were never mad at me and it's all good. And so, I just basics foundation, but maybe some revelations in there for people that didn't know some of these things. So it's exciting.
and that's Satan's goal, is to keep us from understanding what our relationship and the power that we have in an abundant life and the relationship we have with the Lord. So keep us feeling bad about ourselves that we won't go to him. That's his whole goal.
I also love that you said abundant life is the fruit of your relationship with God. And that's awesome because I feel like there is that's just kind of like the plumb line or the test, you know, is there fruit? You know, where's that, you know, where does fruit come from? It comes from a relationship with God, and it's encouraging. That's all. I'll stop talking.
And for me, part of that abundant life has been peace, and just having peace, just feeling free, just feeling like I'm loved and everything. It's weird. It's not really something I can explain, but it comes, I guess it's just like you say, it's the fruit, but it's awesome.
Well, didn't one of those scriptures say peace be multiplied to you by the word or something?
There's also a verse that says a peace that transcends understanding. You can't explain it.
You see that one, Danny?
I'm looking. Did I read it tonight?
Yep.
Second Peter 1, 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
Yeah, so the more we renew our mind and stay in the word, we're multiplying. It's
Yeah.
like a return.
And it comes from the inside out. I mean, that's what I mean, I've heard that said before, but as we grow in the word, that peace comes from the inside and changes us.
Well, that's because that's where God lives.
It's
We live
emphasis.
inside of us, the whole
That's where he
kingdom.
dwells. This is his temple right here.
You guys are getting into like week three of what I'm going to be bringing.
Well, think about me and Manny and Micah as we fly out to Colorado tomorrow.
Yes.
And keep us in your thoughts. Hope to bring a lot back to you guys. So.
Yeah. You guys are going expecting, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't
I
ever go
know.
there not expecting.
That's right.
Dan, also pray for Carolyn. She's leaving tomorrow morning at 3 a.m. to go to her, see her brother. So,
Oh, maybe we'll see her at the airport. She flying
yeah.
out Saturday.
No, San Francisco.
Manny, will you pray for Carolyn and our trip and just for God to keep showing us the steps for whatever we're doing here?
Father, we thank you for everything you do for us. I pray, Father, to show us what we need to see. Pray for your love and your kindness. Show all these people and us as well your love and how to be what you want us to be, Father. We pray, Father, to show us how we are more than we can be in this body of Christ. And we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.